a young Lakewood woman vanished.
Dark to talk about, even after all these years.
24 years later, Lori Bove's loved ones still don't know what happened to her on a summer night in 1997.
Because we knew something wasn't right.
Her husband was the last person to see her and quickly became a person of interest.
He would not let her out of his sight that day.
I determined that she was last with her sister and their brother-in-law.
This is Unsolved, true crime in Western New York. Welcome to Unsolved, true crime in Western New York, where we dive deep into cold cases and unsolved crime in the Western New York region. I'm Leanne Stock.
And I'm Amanda Berg. This week, we're headed down to Lakewood, New York, to dive into the case of Lori Bove, a woman who vanished on June 8, 1997, and was never seen again.
Now, according to her sisters, her husband told police Lori went out for a walk late at night after a fight and said she never came home.
You might remember from our very first episode, the case of Yolanda Bindix. It's a very similar case, also about a missing woman who was from the Jamestown area, and they went missing just a few years apart. Both of these cases really rocked the Southern Tier community when they happened, and a lot of people there still talk about it all the time today.
Yes, Amanda, those cases are very similar. But let's talk a little bit about Lori. She was a 26-year-old woman. She was married. She was living with her husband at the time. She was one of four siblings, and she was actually working at Kay Jewelers with her sister Jen.
So in this episode, we're going to hear from her sisters. They told us the night she went missing, Lori and her husband Tyrone Bove went to dinner with Renee and her husband to celebrate a job promotion. But as you'll hear from them, there was tension and Lori was really visibly stressed that night.
Yeah, Renee told us that Lori's husband was allegedly very controlling and was the main person of interest in this case. She said they'd been together for several years before getting married, but she said Lori and Tyrone's relationship changed after the wedding.
We're also going to talk to the former Lakewood Bus-Stuy Police Sergeant Investigator Paul Gustafson. He spent most of his 23-year career in law enforcement working to find out about this case, what happened to Lori. He was on duty that day that Lori's husband reported her missing and says that even now in retirement, he is not going to give up on this case. There's a lot of details and a lot to unpack, so Leanne, let's just get started.
Well, she was the favorite. Would you agree, Jenny?
Yes, absolutely.
She was a favorite. Yeah, everybody loved her. She's so fun and funny. Had a very small circle of friends, I would say, and she cherished them extremely. My husband and I went for dinner with her and Tyrone at Red Lobster that evening. And we had gotten done. It was a late dinner, so it was around 11 or so. And we found out the next morning that it was just, you know, normal, see you tomorrow kind of talk. But there were some other things that happened during the daytime that were, he would not let her out of his sight that day. So I was trying to just go shopping with her and earlier that day, and he wouldn't let her be alone with me. So he came with us that whole time.
I didn't see her that night, but I saw her during the day. I took her shift at Kay Jewelers. She had worked for me the day before. My daughter was sick, so I took her Saturday shift. But she stopped in the store, and he was behind her. And as she was walking towards us, me and the other girl that was working, Kelly, she just kind of rolled her eyes, like, because he wouldn't let her just come in the store alone and talk and say hi, you know. So she was kind of irritated, I guess. I don't know if that's a good word to use, but just like, kind of like a sigh. We talked and stuff for a little bit, and she said that she was going to go out to dinner with Renee and Don. So then fast forward to that early morning, the phone rang my brother-in-law stating, Jenny Lori's missing. Jenny Lori's missing. I can't find her. I said, what do you mean she's missing? Like, did you check my mom and dad's house? Did you go to Renee's house? Like, if you guys, you know, he said, well, I parked outside to see if there was any movement and there was nothing there. So then I hung up with him and called my parents, called some of the girls that we worked with at Kay's to see if they had heard from her. And then that's kind of like where everything changed. It was just a whirlwind after that. It's hard to talk about even after all these years.
And after that, Jennifer said her family immediately wanted to go to police, but said Lori's husband did not.
He wouldn't go to the police department, right up the road from her house. So I said, if you're not going to, I'm going to. And I said, I made my dad come with me. I forced my dad. I'm like, I had a couple people follow me. Her husband didn't care. So I marched up there. And we said we demanded to talk to somebody now that she had been missing. And her husband does not feel like it's worth the file report, but we wanted to do so as a family. And that's when Chief Young, Jim Young at the time, just listened to us and decided that, yes, that's, even though she was an adult and it wasn't a certain amount of time, I mean, it was that mid-afternoon, I would say. By the time, you know, it wasn't a specific 24 hours, like they want to wait. They took our statement and they started the missing persons process at that point because we knew something wasn't right. She was scared of the dark. We knew that she smoked. Her cigarettes and her purse were at her apartment. We knew if she even went for a walk, which we didn't think she did. It's in the middle of the night, as far as we know. We don't know exactly what time, but we know when she got home after 11. So at that point we knew, okay, I was a previous smoker. I know that if you're upset, you're going to go take your cigarettes. If you're not afraid of the dark, to walk down the street. But I worked with her. She wouldn't even take the garbage out at the end of the night at Kay's without somebody with her because she was scared of the dark.
So let's walk through the timeline of that night. After her family filed the report that she was missing, they had to kind of go back and figure out where she was last seen. So we know that they left the restaurant around 11 o'clock that night. Lori and her husband went home. They allegedly got into a fight. She was upset. She went for a walk. Now, Lori's sisters say that that doesn't make sense because she didn't like the dark. She was very afraid to be outside and alone by herself, especially at night. So it just didn't really add up to them.
And to help kind of fill in some of those holes in the timeline that everyone is piecing together right now, I want to bring in Lakewood Bus-Eye Police Sergeant Investigator Paul Gustafson.
At about 11:15 a.m., I was dispatched to the Lakewood Bus-Eye Police Department to take a missing persons complaint by Tyrone Beauvais, which ultimately discovered that that was the missing person's husband. At that time, I completed the paperwork from Mr. Beauvais at the police department. We subsequently went to their apartment in follow-up to the missing person's complaint. In the days after, things developed very rapidly, as you can imagine. Multiple police agencies assisted us in conducting searches, both by land, by water, by air. We had a great deal of community support from our members of our community, surrounding communities, family members, friends of Lori's, as we conducted searches, again, with agencies helping us, from local agencies to the sheriff's, state police, FBI. We started to conduct multiple interviews, more searches and develop more leads as the days unfolded. Things again happened very rapidly, and we started to develop a lot of information and to gain a lot of information in regards to, you know, Lori's life at that time, you know, things that were happening in her life during and before the time of this event. Or I determined that she was last with her sister and their brother-in-law on June 7th. They had gone to dinner at a local restaurant here in Lakewood, New York. At approximately 10:30 p.m., they left the restaurant. Tyrone and Lori had gone home. Her sister subsequently went home as well. Last time that Lori was publicly seen was at that time. It was reported to me that they had gone home. There had been an argument. About 2 a.m., Lori decided to go for a walk and left the apartment in Lakewood, New York.
Now, as investigators continued to work to figure out where Lori was, Paul told us that there were several persons of interest in the case, one of those being her husband, Tyrone. And the more that Paul talked to those persons of interest, the more Tyrone stopped cooperating.
Yeah, so we developed, again, lots of information in regards to, you know, Lori's demeanor at the time, the fact that they had had arguments together, the fact that, you know, Lori had a lot of things going on in her life, you know, that which all played a role in our investigation at that time. We interviewed what we felt were several persons of interest in perhaps Lori's, you know, whereabouts and perhaps what may have happened to her, all during that time, hoping and wishing that, you know, Lori was going to walk through the door and we were going to find Lori, obviously. You know, we had individuals that cooperated fully with us, and we had individuals that did not cooperate fully with us, one of those individuals being her husband at the time. We've never considered Tyrone a suspect. He's a person of interest. As I've said, you know, we had several persons of interest. To answer your question in regards to her husband, I would say, you know, within the first few weeks, as we developed information and continued to do interviews, it was clear that, you know, he was no longer going to cooperate with us, and at that time was becoming more of a person of interest, you know, as we developed information.
Paul said that because the case is still open, he's not able to speak any further about Tyrone as a person of interest. But Renee and Jennifer said that he moved out of state and died a few years ago, with the main suspect in the case now deceased. Renee said they just want to find her.
I think the biggest gain or the biggest prayer we have is if we could find her so that we could have the information to at least put some closure on.
We all know and we believe in our hearts who is responsible. That justice, in my mind, I guess, he can, you know, that's over. He's got all the information. He's not going to jail. He, you know, that chapter is already closed. So we need to find her. We believe in that maybe somebody has some kind of information out there, that now that Tyrone is deceased, that they would feel more comfortable coming forward if they do know. If he did tell anybody, I mean, we don't know.
So Leanne, as we start to wrap up this case, let's just make it super abundantly clear. This is not a homicide case.
We never found a trace of Lori. Investigators never found either remains or her alive up to this point. And so that's why it still remains an active missing persons case, because really nobody knows what happened to her.
And just like we say every other time, every other case, every other episode, that's not really going to change at this point unless somebody comes forward.
So if you are listening to this right now and you happen to have any information about this case at all, you're asked to contact the Lakewood Bus Dive Police Department, which is 716-763-9563. No matter how small of a tidbit of information you think you may have, it can make a world of difference in this case and for Lori's family. So please, any information at all, that's really why we do this, is to try and help get these cases solved, and that's how you can help us do that.
And we'll have all of this over on WGRZ.com and our free Two on Your Side app in the Apple Store or Google Play.
And like this episode, we plan to continue to update and expand on the cases that we've covered in the past and bring you new stories each week of Western New Yorkers who are searching for justice. In the meantime, though, feel free to follow us both on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow me. I'm at Leanne Stock.
And I'm at Amanda_Berg16.
Thank you again for joining us.
We'll see you next time for another episode of Unsolved: True Crime in Western New York.